I invite your attention to the reading of our scripture in the Revelation of John, the 3rd chapter, and I shall begin reading with the 14th verse. To the angel of the church in Laodicea write, these are the words of the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the ruler of God's creation. I know your deeds, that you are neither cold nor hot. I wish you were either one or the other. So because you are lukewarm, neither cold nor hot, I am about to spit you out of my mouth. You say, I am rich. I have acquired wealth and do not need a thing. But you do not realize that you are wretched, pitiful, poor, blind, and naked. I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in the fire so that you can become rich, and white clothes to wear so that you can cover your shameful nakedness, and salve to put on your eyes so that you can see. Those whom I love I rebuke and discipline, so be earnest and repent. Here I am, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will go in and eat with him and he with me. To him who overcomes, I will give the right to sit with me on my throne, just as I overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Amen. Let us bow for a moment of silent prayer. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Last Sunday, I preached a sermon. The title was When the Heat is Turned Up. You know, the idea was that there are circumstances in our lives that can turn the heat up for us, and it can get so hot sometimes that we can hardly stand it. You know, most of us have experienced that kind of thing in our lives. There's time when sickness and pain and death comes, a time when there is an accident, when a job is lost, when there is a financial crisis. And during these times, we ask all kinds of questions. Why did that happen to me? I haven't done anything wrong. Why me? God must not love me, or he wouldn't let that happen. But you know, we concluded last week that God does have the power to turn the heat off. He can change the circumstances of our lives, and he can make everything in our lives turn out great. And when he doesn't do that, we always ask, why? To help us understand, last week we went back to the beginning of the story in the Garden of Eden. You remember? In the beginning, God created man in his own image and after his likeness. He put him in the garden and gave him dominion over all of his creation. God established a perfect relationship with man, and he walked with him in the garden. But then when God created man, he made a decree. He decreed to allow sin. He did not decree sin. That would have made him the author of sin. He did not just allow sin. That would have been a passive resignation. He decreed to allow sin. He knew that it was coming and that he would handle it when it did come. And so sin came into the world. Man made a deliberate choice to disobey God, and he sinned. And because of sin, man was completely separated from God. And bad things happen in the world. They happen because we are living in a broken, fallen, sinful world. And because that is true, there will be times of sickness and pain and death. There will be times when accidents happen, when divorces occur, when jobs are lost, when there is a financial crisis. And sometimes these things seem to be so hopeless, but in reality they are not. You remember, God not only decreed to allow sin, he decreed that he would handle sin when it came. That he would do for man what man could not do for himself. That he would come into time and space. that he would bear the punishment and the penalty for our sins, and he would restore man into his relationship with God. And so in the fullness of time, Jesus came. Through him we are forgiven, we are redeemed and transformed, and we are being conformed into the very image of his Son, Jesus Christ. Oh, we are not complete yet, but the process is taking place. In light of that, there are four truths that help us when the heat's turned up and it seems as though we can't make it. For one thing, no matter what happens, no matter how hot it is, we know that God loves us. Not only does he love us, but there is nothing that can separate us from that love. And if we love and trust him, then he will bring good out of those bad things. And because we know that out of our pain and hurt, he will bring good, we can praise him and we can thank him. And when we do that, incredible spiritual power is released in our lives. And through the power of God in our lives, we are more than conquerors. That's where we were last week. This morning, I want to ask a different question, and it is this. Is it possible that there are times when it is God himself who turns the heat up in our lives? Indeed, he does that. Listen to the word of God. Here is Job speaking. Blessed is the man whom God corrects. So do not despise the discipline of the Almighty. He wounds, but he also binds up. He injures, but his hand also heals. Or there is Solomon when he was writing in the Proverbs. My son, do not despise the Lord's discipline and do not resent his rebukes, because the Lord disciplines those he loves. Oh, there is the risen Lord Jesus when he was speaking to the church in Laodicea. Indeed, that's our text for today. Those whom I love, I reprove and discipline. Therefore, be zealous and repent. Let me tell you, there are times in our lives when it gets hot. And we have to recognize that it is God himself who has turned the heat up. And if he turns the heat up, we have to deal with it in a different way. Let me give you two examples of this from the life of God's people to show you how it works. First of all, here is Joseph. You remember his story? There was a time when Joseph found himself in Egypt under rather adverse circumstances. Circumstances that were not of his making. The envy and the jealousy of his brothers. Their plot to disinherit him. The dark satanic deed that sold him to the slave traders. The years he spent in prison in Egypt simply because he had been falsely accused and condemned. Well, Joseph looked over his life. He didn't like what he saw. Man, it got hot. And it was so hot, he didn't think he would be able to stand it. Or look at the children of Israel. It's 400 years later. Most of those years, they have been captives, and they have lived as the slave laborers for the Egyptians. But in their captivity, they called out to God for help. He heard their cry, and he sent Moses to deliver them from Egypt. When they left Egypt, the first place they came was the Red Sea. And man, there they stood between the rock and the hard place. The desert to the right and to the left. The Red Sea in front of them. Pharaoh's army bearing down on them from the rear. And they cried out to Moses, "Is it because there are no graves in Egypt that you have brought us out into this wilderness to die? What have you done to us in bringing us out of Egypt?" Man, the heat was on, and they were not at all certain they could make it. Has that ever happened to you? Have you ever been between a rock and a hard place? Have you been in a situation where the heat has been turned up in your life and you are angry because you know what is taking place is not because of anything you have done and you don't know what to do about it? Well, let me tell you the truth. The heat in Joseph's life and the heat in the life of the children of Israel was exactly what God wanted for them. You see, it was God who turned the heat up in their lives. But when he turned the heat up in their lives, he had a purpose for that. Look at Joseph again. Through the providence of God, he was released from prison. We see his gradual rise to favor and prominence in the courts of Pharaoh. His solving of the rationing problem during the years of famine. His appointment as the prime minister in Egypt. And then one day, standing before him were his brothers. The same men who had dealt so treacherously with him at the first. There they were. They didn't recognize him. A humble delegation seeking aid for famine-stricken Israel. And then the dramatic moment when he said to them, I'm Joseph, the one you sold as a slave into Egypt. Now, do not be distressed or angry with yourself that you sold me here. God sent me before you to preserve life. So it is not you who sent me here, but God. You understand? The splendid thing in Joseph's life was this. Joseph could have become bitter. He could have blown out the light of faith. He could have been sour and rebellious and cynical. But he did not. And in the light of all that was taking place in his life, he never lost his faith that God was at work. And through all of those dreadful years, he knew that whatever was happening in his life, God would use that thing for a mighty purpose of his own. Well, look at the children of Israel again. God was ready to deliver them from Egypt through the hand of Moses. And after a series of confrontations between Moses and Pharaoh, Pharaoh decided to let them go. Now, the normal route to the promised land would have been along the coast through the land of the Philistines. But the scriptures tell us that God did not lead them by the land of the Philistines, although that was near. But God led his people around by the way of the wilderness toward the Red Sea. The point is this. When they stood on the banks of the Red Sea with no place to go, and Pharaoh's army bearing down on them, they were exactly where God wanted them to be. He was the one who led them through the wilderness around to the Red Sea. It was God who turned the heat up in their lives. And he had a purpose for that. His purpose was so that they would come to know his power and his provision, so that he could weld them as a nation. He could give them the law. He could give them the pattern of the temple that would be their place of worship. He could reveal what was in their hearts. And they could come to trust him with the totality of their lives. But what about your life? If the heat is turned up in your life, it may very well be that it is God who's turned it up. He does that. But any time he turns it up, he has a purpose. And his purpose is to conform us to the image of his Son, Jesus Christ, so that we grow to be more and more like him. And then when we leave this place and we go out into the market to live our Christian faith, people will look at us and they will see Jesus in us. They will see him because we are talking like him, and we are thinking like him, and we are acting like him. You see, God really does have a plan and a purpose for your life. And God's going to work it out. That was true for Joseph. God's plan for Joseph was to keep Israel alive and to prepare them for a glorious destiny. His plan for the children of Israel was to mold a holy nation for himself and to provide a people through whom the Messiah, his son Jesus, would come. But let me tell you the truth. Neither Joseph nor the children of Israel could see that purpose when the heat was turned up. It was in later years that they could look back and see God's hand. And so Joseph could say to his brothers, God sent me before you to preserve life, so it's not you who sent me here, but God. And in later years, after Israel had settled in the promised land, they looked back on that Red Sea experience as a watershed moment in their history. That's true for you and me. God has a purpose for our lives, and He is going to work it out. But sometimes He cannot do that until we have humbled ourselves before Him. He has revealed what is in our hearts, and we've dealt with that. And until we come to the place that we can trust Him with the totality of our lives. Sometimes it's hard for us to do that, and He has to turn the heat up. And we have to sweat it out. He will always put us in the place that it will happen. Listen to our text. Those whom I love, I rebuke and discipline. Therefore be zealous and repent. And then the very next word is this. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone will hear my voice and open the door, I will come in and eat with him and he with me. You see, whatever is happening in our lives, it may be God at work. And if we will trust him and open the door, we have his assurance that he will come in. Let me tell you the truth. Whatever is happening in your life today, good or bad, is an opportunity for you to allow Jesus to come in more fully. Are you willing to open the door and permit Him to come in and take charge of your life? Listen to what He had to say. Those whom I love, I rebuke and discipline. Therefore, be zealous and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone will hear my voice and open the door, I will come in and eat with him and he with me. Is the heat turned on for you? It may very well be that God has turned it on. He is trying to complete you as his son and his daughter. Will you permit him to do that? All you need to do is open the door, and he steps in, and it's done.